I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. The great Peter O'Toole has died. You know his work, and if you don't, you really should. We're not going to do another homage, but we are going to spend a couple of minutes talking about one of his greatest roles, Lawrence of Arabia, and how much of the 1962 movie Lawrence of Arabia was fact and how much was fiction. So who better to help us answer these questions than our very own history buff, The World's Chris Wolfe. So for those of us like myself, Chris, who haven't seen Lawrence of Arabia in a few years, give us a brief reminder of the plot.
Well, very simply, it's a biopic of a young British intelligence officer in World War I who inspires and leads a revolt among the Arabs against the Ottoman Turks, who at that time ruled much of the Middle East and who made the mistake of siding with the Germans against the Brits in World War I.
So what's right with the movie and what's wrong with the movie?
I thought this would be an easy question to answer when I was assigned it at the morning editorial meeting. But then I looked into it, and it turns out to be a minefield. There's been this violent debate between scholars and survivors of people portrayed. So this is my passing of all that debate, so I'm bound to offend some of those people.
Right.
And then I made another mistake, which was to ask for some ideas for research from my nerdy history friends on Facebook, and was offered this insight, that actually the movie portrays the early life of Obi-Wan Kenobi on Tatooine. Of course, there's just a play on Alec Guinness there being one of the lead characters.
I think you are another of these desert-loving English. No Arab loves the desert. We love water and green trees. There's nothing in the desert.
Okay, is that in a galaxy far, far away, or is that Lawrence of Arabia?
That's actually Lawrence of Arabia. But seriously, there's quite a lot wrong with the movie. Let's start with the sand. David Lean didn't think that the kind of scrubby brown desert of eastern Jordan, where they did a lot of the filming, was quite desert enough for an American audience.
David Lean, the director.
Correct. Mm. He wanted golden yellow sand to convince the Hollywood audience. Then the troops, they're portrayed as these kind of undisciplined Bedouin tribesmen. And actually, a lot of them were uniformed former prisoners of war that had been captured from the Turks and then, as Arabs, had volunteered for this nationalist revolt. And then there's the whole portrayal of Arab culture. The film's actually banned in most Arab countries because of that portrayal. And in this clip we're going to play now kind of captures that. This is when Lawrence confronts Omar Sharif after he's just killed his guide.
He was nothing. The well is everything. The Hazimi may not drink at our wells. He knew that. Salam. Hut, hut, hut.
Sheriff Ali! So long as the Arabs fight tribe against tribe, so long will they be a little people, a silly people, greedy, barbarous, and cruel.
Then there's the whole debate about the significance of Lawrence's role himself. He was, in fact, only one of several British and French intelligence officers operating in Arabia, but he was the only one who wrote a hugely self-aggrandizing memoir, The Seven Pillars of Wisdom. Plus, he had the help of a US journalist, a guy called Lowell Thomas, who had a wonderful phrase about Lawrence trying to be self-effacing, but at the same time having a marvelous way of backing into the limelight. And then one other thing is worth noting is that this is one of the few films where not a single woman is credited with a speaking part.
Wow, interesting.
Which is odd, because there was this incredible Orientalist called Gertrude Bell, who actually had a key role in briefing the real Lawrence on how to manage the tribes around Aqaba, which is one of the key scenes in the movie. But I guess the name Gertrude of Arabia doesn't quite have the same ring.
It didn't take account for her in the script. There's always going to be debate among historians about the details of these historical narratives. But did Lawrence of Arabia get more right than wrong, would you say?
I think on balance, yes. It does capture certainly the times, and it does capture a lot of the scenes. A lot, even the small scenes, are very well researched. Like, there's one where a British medical officer slaps Lawrence around and curses the Arabs as dirty savages when he comes into a hospital that's been run down. That's taken straight from Lawrence's memoir. And the late Peter O'Toole does superficially look like Lawrence, and he certainly captures the man's kind of delusions of grandeur and his troubled soul. And it also gets right the kind of British duplicity about promising a great kingdom to Faisal and his family, comprising, you know, what's now Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Israel, Palestine, Syria, and Iraq. However, the British also promised Palestine to the Zionists. They promised Jerusalem to the Russians, Syria to the French. Pretty much anything goes to anyone who would help them. And Lawrence was part of this and knew about that and didn't resign in protest, as is kind of suggested in the movie. But overall, pretty well researched, even down to that incredible scene that really caught me, struck me as a young fella when I first saw it, was the massacre of the Turkish column at Tafas. And people might remember the self-sacrifice of that sole Arab warrior who rides into the teeth of the Turkish troops. And let's go out by listening to that.
This was Talal's village.
Talal! prisoners!
No prisoners. The madness of T.E. Lawrence, better known as Lawrence of Arabia there. That was The World That Was for today with our resident history buff, Chris Wolf. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.